Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We've got a fascinating hour for you today because we're going to have some very special guests on later on in the hour. Danyon Brinkley is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes, and then we're going to have Brian McClure. So we've just got some real good things to share with you today. But before we start talking with Danyon, I wanted to just let you know that we've got so many wonderful things happening at bbsradio.com that I hope that you'll check out our website and look at all of the wonderful things that are evolving, because we are delighted to share them with you and to, well, invite you to tell your friends about all of the wonderful things that we're doing. Well, I wanted to start out today, because we're going to be on the phone with Danyon Brinkley in about 15 minutes. I wanted to talk about ethics a little bit. This is something that has come up in so many, many people's lives on various levels, and we see so much of a negative demonstration about people in the corporate world, in business, on so many different, within so many different experiences of life, and we go, gee whiz, are ethics dead? No, they're not. You know, there's much more to ethics than just someone not doing the right thing. It is a standard that I think once we set it for ourselves, we can be examples for a lot of people around us, young and old. And Rebecca Rushing is a woman that I think deserves some mention. I came across this information regarding Rebecca, and I thought it'd be a great way to start out the show. Because Rebecca was a very high-level executive assistant at Enron before it imploded. And boy, we've all heard about Enron, and we're not going to go into that. But she herself, by being involved in the upper echelon, could see all the signals about financial instability. And she was able to find a very good job not too long after she was laid off from the company, and all of the mess was coming into the forefront of the headlines. And she decided, though, she was going to take a different positioning. She said, I did not want to just pay attention to what my needs were. I wanted to do something that was going to make a statement about myself, who I was, and what I believed in. Because though she had been an executive at Enron, what the particular individuals at Enron did were not a reflection on her standard of ethics at all. What she did, along with two former colleagues, she set up a fund at a local bank to help other displaced co-workers of Enron. With $90 of her own money and boosted by national media coverage, her fund grew into hundreds of thousands of dollars and was dispersed to former Enron employees to help them get through the very, very difficult times. Now, she doesn't make a big deal about this, and she didn't feel like she deserved any special credit for it. She said, the reason I worked very quickly towards getting this established and worked with the media to make the public aware of it, and the reason I felt like it was so important for me to do this on my own time, is that I was a fortunate person. I was able to get a job relatively quickly. I wanted those other people that had been displaced by such an ugly situation to be able to work for someone else and also to know that they could make it even with all of the upheaval. She said, when more of us develop that attitude about our coworkers, things do work out and it can make a difference. One person makes a big difference. Your standards of ethics, who you are as an individual, should speak so loudly that you really don't have to talk much about it because your actions are demonstrating who you are. And this is so very, very important. I find that anyone at any given time can make errors, but one of the hardest things to do, I feel, is to make it okay to say, I really goofed. You need to know I made a big mistake. I wasn't in touch with you. It's my fault. Things fall through the cracks sometimes. But people have a way, if you have integrity with them, they'll say, okay, I'll understand that. And there's an openness that is established of trust that is really very, very important. So I wanted to share that story with you today because I thought that it was so significant. It is so important for us to realize that, again, as individuals, we make a difference. As individuals, at any given moment, things can go wrong. Things can implode big time due to other people's stuff. But that doesn't mean it has to implode on you, on your level of life, on who you are, and what you're capable of transforming by your own character and by your own standards. So my hat's off to Rebecca Rushing because I think she made a statement through her actions that will walk with her forever. And what a wonderful thing that that is. Donna Sebo here. We are going to have a guest coming on at 1:15, and that is going to be Danyon Brinkley. We have a special event that is coming up. We're going to be talking about that, and that's going to be the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. And of course, Danyon as well as Brian McCour are going to be my guests today, so you're going to be hearing more from them in just a few minutes. Have you ever wanted to travel by yourself? Have you just thought, oh, wouldn't that be great to be the adventurer? Well, men and women both often have a tough time doing that, but women more so than men. We have often to deal with our fears. Well, I've come across some information about some dynamic ladies, and there's one of them is Beth Whitman. In fact, she wrote a wonderful book called Wanderlust in Lipstick, The Essential Guide for Women Traveling Solo, and she went on a 9-week 7,000-mile solo motorcycle trip, motorcycle no less, through Mexico and Central America. Now, she said because she planned carefully, she had a good layout for where she was going to go and what she was going to do, and she followed her gut instincts, her intuition. And she said she really challenged her own thinking and also the perceptions of other people and what it is, well, what you can do as a woman traveling all by yourself. And Beth said it was the biggest dream she had ever had. She said, I thought it, I dreamt it, I was eating it, I was breathing it, and nothing was going to stop me. She had that zest for adventure, and it wasn't going to be turned off. Also, Lori Talcott, who's a master goldsmith, she does jewelry design work, and her work is in the Smithsonian American Art Museum's Renwick Gallery and the Tacoma Art Museum. She went to Norway, and she hiked Norway's Pilgrim's Path from Oslo to the Shrine of St. Olav in Trondheim's Nidaros Cathedral. Now, that is 400 miles she backpacked in 29 days from the farm fields over the Dovrefjell mountain range to Norway's west coast. Now, she said she wanted to do this sort of as a meditative journey. She said, I found it very inspiring to travel a path that had been traveled by so many different people for thousands and thousands of years. She said, I really love medieval life and history, and this just was something that was very significant during the medieval period. And she said, the roots of the word pilgrim come from the Latin per, through, and ager, land. So she said, I started to think about what you take and what you leave behind when you walk out into the world. And she said, when I traveled this pilgrim's path, it brought together a lot of these elements. But you may encounter obstacles, but, you know, the chance to confront and overcome the various challenges that you might experience really seem to empower you as far as your own personal level of strength and what you believe you're capable of doing. Talcott's, one of her biggest challenges, was a 600-pound rogue male muskox. Believe me, they are intimidating creatures. They're beautiful. They have these gorgeous, gorgeous, huge brown eyes. But this one, with Lori, it started pawing the ground, was snorting, and she said, he was going to come after her. Somehow or another, he figured she was in his turf, and she didn't belong there. So she said, by golly, she managed to get her way around him by going straight down a 3-foot drop-off and stepping off the ledge. She was in U-shaped birch trees and managed to get around the critter. So if you would like to do some traveling, maybe you don't want to have an adventure with a muskox, but here's some tips. There's about 10 of them. Learn some of the local language. You'll gain respect, and people are going to want to help you or befriend you. 2, ask friends before you leave for any introductions they may have to friends in places that you'll be traveling to. Do travel outside the big cities. 3, and tourist attractions. Local people love to share what they know, and you'll have a rich experience and make new friends. 4, when you get into a town, ask about any security concerns at the local tourist office. They'll let you know what you need to pay attention to. 5, youth hostels in Europe draw people of all ages. They're safe and great for meeting other travelers. I've known of couples that have traveled around the world many times, and they use those hostels all the time. Get to know the hotel, hostel, B&B managers. They'll give you great inside tips on what you can do, see, and often will help you if you need help with any kind of difficulties. And again, be interested in the locals. You're going to learn wherever you go. Trust your intuition. Trust your instincts. You might have some wonderful experiences, and it'll keep you out of harm's way. Don't forget to take along small gifts from wherever you're coming from and photos to share with your friends. And remember, the best way to make new friends, wherever you are in the world, is to have confidence and to smile. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be having Danyon Brinkley and Brian McClure in just a few minutes. They are going to be sharing our airspace with us. And what it's going to be all about is this wonderful 6th annual Conscious Life Expo conference and film festival that is coming up. Now, this is going to be held February 8th through the 11th at the LAX Hilton, which is 5711 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. And if you want more information about this, go to their website, ConsciousLifeExpo.com, ConsciousLifeExpo.com. And also, you can call their office for more information, 800-367-5777. Daniel and Brian are both going to be there speaking. I will be there myself, and I will be giving information about my booth number. But we've got so much going on at this wonderful event. There's going to be a spiritual comedy night. There's a conscious business symposium, and there also are going to be yoga classes that are going to be put on daily. So, again, go to the ConsciousLifeExpo.com, and also their 800 number, again, is 367-5777, and you'll be able to find out a lot of information right then and there. If you want to order tickets in advance, you can do that. But share it with your friends, pass the word along, and it's just an absolutely fabulous event. There's so much that's happening, stuff going on every single hour of the day. The hours will be posted there for you. They'll give you information on parking and on any and all other details that you might be interested in. So we are calling Danyon Brinkley right now, and as soon as he's on the line, then my engineer will be letting us know. I do want to let you know about a guest that's coming up tomorrow before we go on the phone line with Danyon. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about scams. In fact, it's going to be called Scamorama. That's the name of the book. Eve Edelson is my guest tomorrow, and we are going to be talking about some really special things that you need to know about if you want to avoid having a very negative experience relative to identity theft and some other situations. So Eve will be with us, and then Gary Malkin is going to be with us on Friday. We're going to be talking about Graceful Passages and also some other wonderful things that he's done. Well, I'm going to check with my engineer right now. Don, do we have Daniel on the line? I don't think we do right at the moment. Because
I'm here.
Oh, there you are, Daniel. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know you were there.
Hey, Donna, how are you?
Well, I am doing wonderfully. I'm so pleased. I had the delightful opportunity to chat with your wife earlier. Apparently, you have just been, as usual, on the go all over the country.
Well, you know, it goes like that all year long. I mean, just life and trying to save the world. You know, when you realize that saving the world is a profession.
So you're home for a little bit of time, but I know we're going to be seeing you down at the Conscious Life Expo. Daniel, you have just recently come out with a new book, and I know I'm not going to have it handy with me today, but I will when we do our show down in Los Angeles on the 8th of February. But tell us about your most recent publication, Secrets of the Light, Spiritual Strategies to Empower Your Life Here and in the Hereafter.
Well, Donna, what, you know, having three near-death experiences, being struck by lightning in 1975 and being completely paralyzed for 6 days and partially paralyzed for 7 months, taking 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself, and having a near-death experience, it didn't have a name then, and then 14 years later having open-heart surgery and given 6 months to survive and having a second near-death experience, and then 7 years after that having brain surgery because of complications from being struck by lightning and given an 8% chance to survive, and then living 32 years looking at the near-death experience and becoming a hospice volunteer. And I now have over 26,000 hours at the bedside, and I've been with 367 people as they left this world, partially because the fact that I realize no one ever dies. It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And from being there, looking at that side, back over to this side, trying to find ways to help people. Death hasn't gone out of style. Everybody's still scared to death of it. And terror tends to be a way to create control of everybody in their lives. So I tried to take the things that I learned from being a hospice volunteer and what I've learned from the other side and create ways for people to view what really frightens them. Spiritual strategies for empowerment, both here and the hereafter. And to present it in such a way that that's a narrative, but that's really funny. And that gives people a sense of a Southern guy's way of looking at it. And then in combination with that, I always look for historical points of view. And I think a lot of what Robert's doing next month is looking at the 2012 issue. And I leave in the morning at 5:30 to go to the Yucatan for my 23rd time. And look at all those ruins and look at the Olmecs and the Toltecs and the Mayans and the Incan culture, trying to make sense of it so that I can pass that information along to people. I think, Donna, through the years, that since I'm very irreverent, but I'm very matter-of-factly, I don't get all caught up in the Swami business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very straightforward with that Southern style about looking at life. And people have followed me for years and years and years, and it tends to, that straightforwardness tends to help people understand how to make crucial decisions about how to handle your life's issues, how to deal with loss, grief, and bereavement, and how to look at the mystical sides of life in a way that you can constructively use that to better help you and the people you love in living in this life.
Well, I think, Daniel, that's so significant. There's no one that is not going to be touched by the big D, death as we know it. And I think when you can have a deeper understanding and not come from a positioning of fear, which frequently evolves because of indoctrination.
Agreed.
And there is so much that an individual works through, and having been involved as a minister and as a counselor with so many thousands of people through the years, I understand where you're coming from, and I compliment you because I think that that is very much needed.
You know, Donna, when you go through this and you discover the real mechanisms of how you leave this world, you get so enthralled with what life is about, not about what's next. Religion and fear of the unknown and condemnation and eternal damnation are all concepts that we attach to what death is, and all death is a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way at which you can measure a life and take value within the context of it, and to really grow. That's what life is about. So that when you go back to the other side, you can move faster through levels of dimensions of consciousness and love and magnificence faster than you could have if you had stayed over there. You like, you come to the job, you come over here, you do that job, handle it very well, and then you take that journey back. And when you get to the other side, the value of the good that you put on this earth really measures and moves forward in how you unfold as a spiritual being on the other side. And I really like what Robert's doing. Robert is a good friend of mine, and I like the people and the eclectic nature of bringing people together so that as people search for answers and they look at really ways to look at those answers, we don't all see everything the same way. And so I always tell people, please come, because you can take what's good for you out of it, throw the rest away, but I guarantee you, you'll learn something, you'll make new friends, and you will find empowerment in the life that you're living. And so what I've done in Spiritual Strategies with my beautiful, loving, brilliant wife is laid out a way that's very straightforward, that shows you how to frame what's going on around you. You know, in life you have to frame the issue, like in a debate. Depending on how the issue is framed in a debate, depends, you can win even though you're wrong. So what I tried to do is take things that happen to people in life and frame it in such a way that it doesn't get emotionally out of hand, and that you can handle it by putting it in that context and then going through the procedures of what life is, the near-death experience, and what I experienced on the other side, and apply it to the event. So that a lot of times what you think is a terrible event in your life was really put into your life by you in the spiritual world, so that you grow and other people grow. And if you don't think it like that, you really miss some of the greatest moments that this life is about.
I think that is very, very true. In fact, I was myself reflecting on certain experiences that I've had. I was doing it just this morning, and I thought, if I hadn't gone through certain experiences, I wouldn't be able to have the expertise I have today. I wouldn't be able to have the empathy. And the same is in your experience. That's what enables you as a speaker, Daniel, also as an author, to be able to integrate with people. And your hospice work has made such a difference with your thinking, because it's only when you have that integration with others that empathy has a capacity to expand and grow.
Well, you know, Donna, down in South Carolina where I come from, everybody goes to hell. So you grow up with that mentality, right? All my life, you know, they didn't have Ritalin when I was a kid. So from the time I was about 7 years old, I was going to hell, and everybody told me that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I didn't go to hell neither of the first two times, then they lost their shot at me. And when the third time came around, and the part I put so much emphasis on in the book is this blue-gray place, or this place where Catholics used to call purgatory, this place where people dwell. It gave me an understanding of ghosts, and it gave me an understanding of all those things that we call supernatural, which I didn't have before. But when I didn't go to hell, and I know that everything I had in my life review where I should have, and the reasons why, I developed a sense of fearlessness. And I think that comes across to people, that whatever happened to me, I have a fearless, adventuresome way about me in looking at life. And I think that that's what comes across in my work and the things that I do, that I approach stuff in what I can learn and what I can achieve without fear. Because I say that if I didn't go any of those last three times, they'll never get me in hell. And people laugh, but, you know, I grew up all my life. You know, everybody in the South goes to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you hear that from the day you're born. And people have to quit buying into that crap. They have to stop it. because it's creating this way that we're giving up our rights, our freedoms. We're becoming led like sheep. And I was on coming out of the airport the other day, an 87-year-old woman whose son was a general in Iraq. They took her bottle of water from her. And these guys were such jerks about it. And I started thinking about this. I said, my God, what is happening to us? And what makes a person do this kind of stuff, all in the name of what we're being protected from? It just burns me up. And so I mix a little of that in my presentation, Donna. You know, I have opinions about world events, and I have an opinion about things that go on, because people who've read Saved by the Light, I wrote down in 76, the things that happened to me in the Panoramic Life Review and in the near-death experience. I really didn't know, Donna, that they were visions of the future when they happened.
Mm-hmm.
And as these things began to unfold all the way to the year 2016, the spiritual world has a great understanding of the probable possibilities of what we will create and how empowered we are to overcome so many obstacles that we should not have gotten into, but that we can. And I really work really hard, and Catherine and I really work hard. She's the president of the Twilight Brigade, and that's my foundation that I use to teach volunteers how to deal with end of life and to go out and be at the bedside of veterans. And I recently just got the President's Lifetime Achievement Award for Outstanding Volunteer Service to Veterans, and I'm very proud of that. And Catherine is the president, so it's like a family foundation. And I try to get people to be empowered, but not buying into some story somebody's telling. You know, live your own life. Be empowered. And while I'm on the subject, Donna, I want to thank you for the time you spend in the ministry and the time that you counsel people in dealing in grief, trauma, and bereavement. That should be acknowledged. It should be commended, and it should be honored. And this day, at this moment, this person is doing just that.
Well, thank you, Daniel. And I
thank
know
you.
That this is something that is very dear to your heart. And you need to let us know when you're going to be speaking at the expo. Do you have your times
yet? I think it's, you know, Robert always puts me at the end because people will stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And then I have a panel on 2012 on Saturday from 2 to, I think, 3:30 or 4. And then I speak on Sunday from 4 to, I think, from 4:30 till 6.
Well, I'm looking forward to having a chance to meet you while I'm there.
I'm going to give you a big hug and kiss when I see you.
Well, that's wonderful. I'll be looking forward to that. Is your lovely wife going to be there as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I will look forward to seeing you both. And I think, Daniel, your message is a very good one. And for those of you listening, again, this is the wonderful annual Conscious Life Expo. This is number 6. It's a conference and a film festival, and this is going to be February 8th to 11th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles.
And, Donna, people can find out more about me on Daniel. DANNION.com.
Wonderful. Daniel.com. Before we close out, Daniel, did you have a message that you would like to leave my listeners with?
Absolutely. That I love them with all my heart. And never, ever let anybody convince you that you're anything other than a great, powerful, mighty spiritual being with dignity, direction, and purpose. Because at the moment you realize that's who you are, a power moves into you, a divine force moves into you and awakens parts of you that you have allowed to lay dormant by always considering yourself not worthy.
Wonderful words, Daniel. Thank you so much. I'll look forward to seeing you next month. And we're just going to have a great time, and it's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal expo. And again, thank you for being my guest.
Hugging and kisses, Donna. I look forward to it.
Yes, sir.
You
have a great
day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment, and then we're going to be talking with Brian McClure. So don't you go anywhere. More good things to share.
Thank you. If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and we have a very special gentleman, Brian McClure, who's with us today. Brian is going to, along with Daniel Brinkley, myself, and so many other speakers, be at the annual Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. Brian, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, there are so many wonderful, wonderful things going on at this expo, Brian, that's coming up. It's February the 8th is when it's starting, and it's going to be ending, I believe, on the 11th. But what I wanted to find out, Brian, from you is tell my audience about your background and what it is that you are going to be doing at the expo.
Okay. Well, I am the creator and founder of the Universal Flag, and the Universal Flag is the first symbol that's ever been created, which is inclusive of everyone and everything. Spirit kind of pushed me and cajoled me into finally creating this symbol back after 9/11. And basically, the symbol was created through all of our universal consciousness in order to expand the awareness of who we are. The colors in the symbol are colors of the chakra system. They're vibrations of energy that are common to all of us. The waves in the symbol represent the ups and downs of our daily life. And the gold band which encompasses the symbol represents our highest teaching, to treat one another as you want to be treated. And by displaying the symbol, we represent the truth of who we are, We are one with all. We are divine presence. We are truth. We are eternal. And we are interdependent on all. And those simple truths resonate deep within us. And so, you know, the symbol at its very base creates the oneness that we are and takes away the belief in separation, which is a reason for a lot of the problems, you know, that the causes of a lot of the problems that we have on our planet today.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, so many times when you talk with people from different backgrounds, when you have a chance to just be one-on-one with them, we find there's really not any difference between us, accepting what it is that we adopt, perhaps as a belief system, or what our fears may be, what pushes our buttons of anxiety. And I think, I've always felt, that the three biggest enemies are ignorance, fear, and superstition. And I think that with what you're doing with the universal flag is trying to bring a cohesiveness to individuals. Now, Brian, give us a little bit of your background, because there had to be a part of you in the everyday life that didn't even imagine this was something that was going to evolve for you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know what, I was a businessman, and I own several companies, including a minor league baseball team and, you know, a commercial insurance agency and a claims adjusting company and a restaurant in Chicago that I've owned for probably 25 years. And the last thing on my mind was to create any type of symbol. You know, I recognized our oneness. I thought that just living a life of being in the present moment and being one with everyone that I was in touch with and all the things was good enough, and I really didn't want my life to change. But I started being awakened back in the late 90s by spirit every night at 3:30 in the morning, 3 or 3:30, telling me to create this symbol. And I really was unwilling to do that. I telepathically, you know, was telling spirit that, you know, they had the wrong person, that I really didn't know anything about designing a symbol, and that they needed to contact Oprah or Wayne Dyer, and they would be excellent, you know, and I would even give the phone number. I knew that spirit was waking up a million other souls. But, you know, after 9/11, I was sitting in my dentist's office having the hygienist work on my teeth, and she wanted to know what I thought about the Taliban. And being a wise soul, I asked her what she thought, and at the time she thought we should bomb everyone in Afghanistan. And as I started to explain to her that certainly you understand that if you or I were born in the Al-Qaeda, if we had lived there our entire lives, what other belief system could we have? We would have been the first in line volunteering to fly these jets into our buildings. Now, that's not to say that I was not saddened by that event. I certainly was, especially for those of us left on this planet trying to pick up the pieces. But all that being said, I could feel the anger and the fear in that office, and pretty soon a whole group of people came in, and I could feel that if I was back 200 years ago, they would have already had the noose over the tree and been hanging me because of my, you know, statement of oneness. And it was at that point that I really felt that I needed to get involved with creating the universal flag, and I did. But I really didn't want my name to be associated with it because I didn't want my life to change. Then I would have to actually go travel and be on TV and radio, and I would have to start initiating the process of allowing other people to recognize their symbol, to help them to remember who they are. That would change my life drastically.
Yeah. Brian, you made a point that I think is very significant. And I'll relate it to an old adage, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes before you judge them. And they, pretty much your statement that you made to that dental assistant in that dentist's office was a very profound one, because it had to have changed her mental paradigm, if nothing else, for a split second. Because not very many people are going to be able at any given moment to say, what if I had been raised in that country? What if I had been born into Afghanistan or Iraq or Iran or you know, Africa, someplace mm-hmm. else, how would I think? What would my positioning be? That is really quite a challenge to be able to even be willing to look at that kind of a perception. It's so easy to just say everything's supposed to mirror what I believe and anything else, you know, is a bunch of hooey. It's, and that's not the way life is. And it is that side of perceptiveness that I think when you made that statement, you created a real paradigm shift. And people probably, like you said, if you had 200 years ago, or it could have been 50 years ago, you would have been strung up somebody's tree.
Absolutely.
Because they'd say, wait a minute, you just don't understand this. This isn't God's will, this isn't this, this isn't that, instead of understanding what your words were. To have that kind of a perception speaks a lot for you because you're willing to look at things from more than one side. And I think that's quite a profound statement. Now, here you are. You're going to be at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, and you're going to be speaking, and you're going to be talking about this. How do you see you're sharing the universal flag? What is it that you perceive this accomplishing? What are you wanting to do with your speaking and your appearances, which you didn't plan on doing, but ho, 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 here you are, in more than one location. Where do you want to go with this, Brian? What is
well,
it
you know what, we've been from the United Nations to the West Coast, in the United States. We're into 64 countries so far. The symbol continues to spread in each new day. You know, where this will go, we're going to be global. We're attacking and working with, not attacking, but we're actually trying to put the connection to all of the groups. We're trying to connect the dots. What we have in our world today are many, many groups. We have globalization. We have global warming. We have PETA. We have you know, all of the problems we have with the lack and limitation of food, water, and shelter for people. We have many, many causes, literally millions of causes worldwide, whether it's peace groups or just a few of these groups that I've mentioned. It's connecting the dots between all of these groups because most people focus their attention in one area, and then they create the abundance in that area and the relief, but that's to the exclusion of so many other areas or groups.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people belong to a religious affiliation, and then that's the only religious affiliation that there is. And what the universal flag does is it recognizes and honors all religions and all peoples and all groups, but at the same time connects us to one much wider and broader look or view than anyone has ever perceived. And it's connecting those groups. And as we continue to connect the groups around the world, our ultimate goal is to have every person in every place in our world recognize that there's something that's so much greater than the border that allows them a belief system of who they are. And that's when the real work will begin. It's when we'll start to use globalization from more than an economic perspective, but from a perspective of embracing cultures, ideas, and peoples and places that we don't today. And obviously, we live in a consumerism-type world right now. We're filled with consumption in each new day. And at the end of a six-month period, if we took all the things that we as people in North America consume, we only retain 1% of that. And that causes tremendous hardships for the people in other parts of our world. When we recognize the oneness of everyone and everything, some of those patterns will start to change. And we're going to start to change the paradigm that we live in. That's the ultimate goal of the Universal Flag Foundation.
Brian McClure, excuse me for interrupting you, Brian. We're running out of time here. What I'm looking at is just a phenomenal batch of information. Do you have a website quickly that you can give my listeners so that
yes.
they can go and find out more?
Yes. It's www.universalflag.com. universalflag.org.
Universalflag.org. Well, Brian, you're going to be at the Conscious Life Expo, and they'll be able to find out about when you're speaking. Are you speaking on Friday,
Saturday? I'll be speaking on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yeah, somewhere, I think around noon or 11:30, something like that.
Wonderful. And so I'll look forward to seeing you there and having a chance to meet you.
Well, that'll be great.
That will be just wonderful. Brian McClure, go to the website universalflag.com. Brian, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. I'm going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. We have a caller on the line. Before I go to the caller, I do want to remind you, tomorrow we have a fabulous guest, Eve Edelson. We're going to be talking about Scam-O-Rama. This is an awesome publication. You don't want to be scammed on any level. Eve is the lady you're going to want to listen to, and she's going to be on with me tomorrow. Let's go to our first caller today. And by the way, if you are wanting to call in, the telephone numbers to call into are 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Hello, caller, and welcome to the show.
Yes, Donna, this is Fanny.
Okay, I'm sorry, dear, I couldn't hear your name.
Yes, Fanny.
Sammy?
Fanny, F-A-N-N-Y.
Oh, Sammy.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, Sammy. What city are you calling from?
New York.
From New York?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one of my favorite cities. One of my favorite cities. Okay, Sammy, let me give you my information. First of all, I am seeing you needing to go to an eye doctor. There is something that is affecting your balance, and I feel it in my right eye. Now, these are just sensations that I'm getting, and it's nothing to be fearful of. It's just information to inform you. So I want you to be aware, if you notice a slight irritation in the eye and that your eye muscle seems to be pulling the eye to the side and your eye gets very fatigued, like if you're working on the computer, you want to be sure that you go and see your eye doctor. You might need some special lenses or maybe to do certain eye exercises so that the eyes will work in better harmony. A lot going on in your life, Sammy. You just feel in a way like you are overwhelmed. And I want you to know you're going to be able to work through this feeling, and you need to be able to talk to people around you saying, I want to get some assistance and I need to know who I can ask. Don't be afraid to let people know what you are trying to find out about, because it will assist you. There is something involving some legal documents that I am observing, mm-hmm. and you will need to have a competent and a well-informed individual. So I don't know if this is dealing with some medical papers, if it is dealing with insurance papers. I do not know what these legal documents are. But you do need to have someone that understands the fine print in these documents, so you know exactly what's in them and you don't sign any agreement until you do. Also, there's something with money that is concerning you, and I want you to know that that money situation is going to be resolved, but you do have to pay attention to detail. Do not assume that you can ignore the detail, whatever this is entailing. By taking care of the details and the little things, you're going to find that your financial concerns are going to be leveled. They're going to be erased. What's on your mind, Sammy? What did you want to ask me about?
Yes, I would like to buy a condo, but I'm thinking about, so I buy the condo or so I buy the one-family house, because with the condo, maybe the price is around $500,000. With the one-family house, around more than $600,000. So because I need 3 bedroom, it's enough. I don't know, and I need to get a condo or a family, because I don't like to. I think about I don't like to take about a one-family house. It's too much things to do, and I don't know which deal is better.
Well, I think what you need to do, Sammy, is some research. You need to find out what the rules are if you invested in the condo.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have someone, this may explain the legal documents that I was looking at. You need someone that will go through the entire documentation, and you can get these in advance of even the purchasing of it. You need to find out what their rules and regulations are.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what's going to be the determinant. If you decided to buy a single-family dwelling, that's your choice, unless it's part of a home association. Then you may have a whole different set of rules. But you need to look at the kind of lifestyle that you want. And that's why I'm making the suggestions I am. Because neither one is bad. You have the freedom of choice. And your responsibilities as far as cost goes with the single family home may be more on the overall picture than it will be with the condo. However, the condo, there may be a factor regarding the rules and regulations that you don't want. So you're the one that's going to have to find out the specifics. And there's no big rush here. You want to find out, and this is a very good time for buying, by the way. So you have got a good window here of about 3 to 4 weeks. So I would, if you have a friend or someone that's very knowledgeable about legal documents that can go through everything with you, you will be very well served, and you'll be able to make the choice based on what you want. In my mind's view, each has its value. You must determine what it is that you want and then find out what the parameters are of responsibility and whatever your choices will be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because one family, right, the price is more higher than condo. Yeah, the condo, you don't need to take care so much. And like the bed, front, or the basement, like that. But I don't know, But
well, you need to find, you need to know, first of all, what it is you want in your lifestyle. And I know I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating. And then number two, you need to find out what the rules and regulations are.
Okay.
If you don't know those and you buy the condo and you move in, you may not be happy with it.
Yeah.
So you need to find out what those rules are.
Okay. Do you think it's good time for me to buy?
Oh, yes. I think this is a very good time to be looking at your choices.
Oh.
Yes, I think this is a good time.
Okay.
But make sure you do your homework first, Sammy.
Huh?
Make sure you do your study and your research first.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome,
okay.
Sammy.
Have a nice day.
You too, dear.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're almost out of time. It's been a wonderful hour, and I'm so delighted that we've been able to share it together. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Eve Edelson, Scamorama, all about scams, different types, and what you can do to be, well, free of any kind of identity theft. Yes, Eve has walked the walk and has seen so much, and we're going to be able to share it with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever forget that. Remember, your mind your essence is your dominion. It doesn't belong to anybody else, and you have the right of choice. We'll be talking to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.